Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is Christmas morning, and so the word for the day, probably the word that you have heard more over the last 24 hours and probably will again over the next, probably more than you have for the entire previous 12 months, is the word gift. And the question, did you receive the gift that you wanted? Well, did you? Did you get the gifts that you wanted? Good, good, good. And for those who are parents, did you give the gifts that they really wanted? So there were no unhappy faces either last night or this morning. Well, I did a little research to see, what do you give the person that has everything? What do you give the person that has everything? Well, it kind of depends on how much you are willing to spend on that person. So I looked at a couple of different catalogs, a Neiman Marcus catalog and a couple of others that you could, I even went online to see what you could do. Now, are there any dog lovers? Dog lovers? Yeah, okay. We don't have a dog anymore, but I love dogs. So I found out that for the dog lover, the gift that they probably don't have is a diamond-encrusted collar for their dog. It has 132 jewels in it, and it only will set you back $3.2 million. So, you know, that would be a great gift for the person who has everything. Now, for those who are into athletics, there is a special edition Michael Jordan Nike gold dipped sneaker. Gold dipped. It is only $52,000. And I thought, well, that's not much more than the regular Nike sneakers. $52,000. Well, I could go on and on, but I discovered that the most expensive Christmas gift ever, and I don't know who keeps track of this stuff, but supposedly, it is your personal luxury 213-foot submarine. A luxury, not yacht, but submarine. You know, we could park it out in Crystal Lake, you know, dock it there and impress all of our friends and neighbors. 5,000 square feet. I mean, that's twice as big as my house. And it has enough room for your own automobile. You know, every submarine needs an automobile, and a mini sub as well. You know, just in case you want to go down to 2,000 feet while you're going across the Atlantic Ocean. Gifts. That's what Christmas is about. Gifts. But not the ones that we got under the tree last night or this morning, or the ones that we gave. It's all about the greatest gift, the gift that God gave to us in the form of his son in the manger. So let's take a look this morning at how our attitude is reflected in this greatest gift as we give and receive gifts as well. So first of all, anticipate the joy. That's really, I think half the fun of Christmas is the anticipation, the waiting. In Luke chapter 2, there in the Christmas story, we read, "But the angel said to them, to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Now, when you're younger, the joy, really the anticipation, is in getting the gift, isn't it? I mean, I was a kid, still kind of am a kid. You know, you like to get the gifts. I don't know about you, but when I was a child with my four brothers, we would take turns. Now, we didn't do this knowingly or on purpose, but because there were five of us, we would go and we would sneak into the living room in the evening and we would just lie under the Christmas tree, just looking at all the lights, smelling the cedar because it was a real tree back in those days. But really, you were there because you wanted to look at all the gifts. Now, we had a rule in our house, you couldn't shake them, couldn't pick them up, couldn't touch them. You could look all you wanted. And I remember dreaming so many times, I wonder if I'm going to get what I want. I wonder if I'm going to get what I want. I wonder if I'm going to get that game that I've wanted for years and years, or that rifle that I've wanted my entire life. I never did get the rifle. Probably because when I was about 8, I shot my twin brother with a BB gun, so there were no more weapons in the Tiemann household for the twins. We might hurt each other. So when you're younger, the anticipation is in the getting. But then as you get a little older, and as you become a parent, as you have others, then the anticipation is in the giving, isn't it? And you know how it is. You know what you got, your wife or your husband or your children or your grandparents or whomever it is. You know what you got them. And yet, you have that adrenaline rush and your palms get a little sweaty and you're all jittery because you can't wait for them to open the gift, right? And you leave the best gift for last just to see the joy of those who are receiving the gift. Well, can you imagine, as we anticipate either the getting or the giving of the gift, can you imagine how God felt giving the greatest gift of all? He had waited thousands of years for the exact right time, giving this gift of his son. Paul writes, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." This gift that, well, when you look at it, doesn't look like a lot. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 pounds, wrapped in swaddling clothes. No gold tip sneakers there. No diamonds. No fancy vehicle for him to be transported in. In just a couple of years, they would all take the trip to Egypt, probably on the back of a donkey. And yet this is the most valuable, the most costly gift that has ever been given. Because this is God who grows up to give his life for all of us so that we can have a relationship with our Father in heaven. As the Son of God came down to earth and made the sacrifice for us, we become his children and we receive this greatest gift of all. So it all begins with the anticipation, but then the celebration. How many of you opened your gifts last night? How many of you opened them this morning already? How many of you are still waiting? Okay, several, a bunch, okay. I won't keep you then, too long. Okay. Okay. Keep it short, wrap it up, get it over with. You know how it is when the children, they get those gifts and, you know, we're not very careful then, are we? We've had that anticipation. We can't wait anymore. And the fingers are flying. The bows are, you know, they're not taken off nicely. They're just torn apart. And everything is in a big pile. Well, that's part of the celebration, isn't it, of receiving the gift. It's interesting to me that humans are the only ones on our planet that give gifts. Animals don't give gifts, right? They don't celebrate birthdays or holidays or Christmas or anything like that. And that's because we are all wired for gifts. We're wired to give and to receive. And why? Because we're made in the image of God. Our God is a giver. He's given us everything that we have. Certainly the greatest gift in his son, but everything we have, our family, our health, our homes, our talents, our abilities, our time. Because God is indeed a giver. And so as we look at good Christmas gifts, there's really two requirements in any good gift, whether at Christmas or any time, two requirements. First of all, it expresses the love of the one who gives the gift, right? And it meets the need of the one who receives the gift. So all of you, as you made your choices for Christmas, put some thought into it, right? You don't give a golf club to someone who loves to fish and hates golf, would you? That would be silly. Nor would you give a rod and reel to someone who never goes fishing. Well, the best Christmas gift, this greatest gift of all, meets our greatest need. And our greatest need is forgiveness, for we are all sinners. From the very beginning, we inherited from our parents, and they from their parents, and all the way, generation and generation, all the way back to Adam and Eve, has inherited sin. And it's a problem. Sin, which leads to death. And unless there's a remedy, unless someone does something about it, we remain broken sinners forever. Well, the good news of Christmas is God did something. He fixed this great need. He provided the forgiveness that everybody needs. You know, earlier I talked about, you know, what do you get to someone who has everything? Well, you give them forgiveness. That's the greatest gift, the greatest need that we all have. So Jesus is the gift that everybody can celebrate. You know, there in your notes, if you have that in front of you, this is the only time in all of Scripture where these three words, Christ, Savior, and Lord, are all together. And there's a reason for that. You see, the Jews, they had been waiting for thousands of years for the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. And so now the Messiah was here and the Jews can celebrate. The one that had been prophesied for thousands of years, the one that is promised, the heir to the throne of David, this great king, he's been born in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. But not only the Jews, the Gentiles, which is everyone else, the only two races really on the planet, this is everybody. Back in the Old Testament, in order to have a relationship with the true God, with Yahweh, you had to adopt the Jewish customs and traditions, all the way to circumcision. But now everyone can celebrate, because not only is there a Christ, there is a Savior, which means the entire world can celebrate. Because everyone is a sinner and everyone needs a Savior. And now we are all together with not only the Christ, not only a Savior, but with our Lord. The God of the heavens has come down to earth and we can all celebrate as his children. And so they did, Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men on whom his favor rests. So we've had this long anticipation. We are now in the midst of the celebration. And finally, all that's left is to say, thank you. Isn't that what you do when you get a gift? Thank you. Isn't that what we teach our children? Don't forget. Say thank you. So we need to demonstrate our own gratitude for the gift, the greatest gift, but for all the gifts that we receive at Christmas and throughout the year. Let me close with this. There's a question there. How do you know when Christmas really happens? Well, it's different in every family, isn't it? For a lot of you, it's going to be later this morning. Christmas really happens for you when the whole family gets together. Maybe it's the celebration on Christmas Eve, the candlelight service. That's kind of what it's always been in our family, that tradition of going to the candlelight. Maybe it's a couple days later when the extended family, the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and the grandmas and the grandpas all get together. I don't know. But for our family, as the people of God, Christmas happens, not just when the child is born in the manger, But when we receive him again in the manger of our heart. It's a wonderful thing about Christmas, though it only comes on the calendar once a year, the gift is there forever. There was a little girl, her name was Jessica. She'd had a wonderful Christmas. She got everything she wanted on her list. She had food all day. Her favorite cousins had come to visit. And so that night, as she was getting tucked into bed, she said to her mom, "Do you think Mary and Joseph will have another baby next year?" We've already received the greatest gift. There is only one Jesus, but he lives in our heart. Let's share him this Christmas and every day. Amen.